Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. You know, December usually turns our heads to Christmas shows of the past. Cash Knife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens was a short series that we really like. Here's Sagebrush Santa.
American Radio Theater is proud to present W.C. Tuttle's famous adventure story of Cash Knife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens. From the pages of America's best-loved writer of Western tales come Cash Knife and Sleepy, roving heroes of the ageless West, starring Ken Lease as Cash Knife Hartley and Dave Lease as Sleepy Stevens. Here now is the creator of these rough-and-tumble cowboys, W.C. Tuttle himself, ready to bring today's story called Sagebrush Santa Claus.
Howdy, folks. Cash Knife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens pulled in the town of Calumet heading west, but decided to stay all night. That evening, they met a man they'd known a long time, and he told them about two of their friends, Mary Carter and Al West, been married over 2 years, bought a spread near the town of Halton in Dancing Valley, and had a baby. And Sleepy said,
"That last part is interesting, but not unusual."
Well, an hour later, Cash Knife and Sleepy were looking into a decorated window in a general store where toys were piled in profusion. And Cash Knife said,
"Sleepy, have you any idea what date this is?"
"Dates don't interest me none, son. Hey, look at them little toy trains and drums. I'll bet you I could beat a drum. And look at them little red wagons and dolls. Man, I ain't never seen so many dolls in all my life."
"Ain't you a little too old to be interested in dolls?"
"Don't hurrah me, Cash Knife. Takes my mind off my looking. Wonder why they got so many toys in this window."
"Christmas, cowboy."
"Christmas, huh? Uh-huh. I reckon it is, if you say so."
"Day after tomorrow's Christmas Day."
"Well, what you know. I ain't paid much attention to Christmas since I was a kid. I wonder if Santa Claus is still alive. You knowed about him, didn't you? You see, he was a long-whiskered gent who came down the stovepipe."
"Chimney, cowboy. He's too fat for a stovepipe."
"Well, the only chimney we had was a stovepipe, and he came down it."
"Yeah, I reckon he could, if you had faith enough."
"Hey, you know something, Cash Knife?"
"Do I know what?"
"That me and you better get some new socks if we're going to hang them on Christmas Eve. The ones we got wouldn't hold a coconut."
"We'll buy some new ones."
"We will, huh? I was just kidding, son. I thought Santa Claus was only for little kids."
"He's for everybody, Sleepy. Everybody who believes in him."
"Well, I still do."
"So do I, cowboy. I hope we never quit believing in Santa Claus. It's a good thing."
"Cash Knife, I got me an idea."
"Hit you all of a sudden, huh?"
"It kind of did. Listen to it. Mary Carter and Al West live down at Dancing Valley, and they got a new little kid."
"I heard the men tell us that."
"It ain't over 100 miles down there. Why don't we load up and go down there?" "You don't think so, huh?"
"I never said a word. My mouth just sagged open at the thought."
"Well, we could stack our war sacks full of them toys and gimcracks and take them down to the new kid."
"Yeah, we could. But toys cost money, and we haven't too much."
"Uh-huh, that's right. Shucks. Now, if I was rich and famous..."
"What's the matter? Got an itch?"
"I just remembered something. Long time back, maybe 5-6 months ago... we got that reward money for capturing the Mojave Kid. I took a $20 bill and sewed it into my undershirt."
"A $20 bill, huh? How many times you wash that shirt?"
"Let's not go into that. The bill is still readable." "The little kid in there just started that music box. Ain't it as pretty as anything you ever heard?"
"I ain't heard a music box since I was a kid. At home."
"That man didn't say Mary's baby is a boy or a girl."
"But it has to be, cowboy."
"It has to be what?"
"A boy or a girl."
"Still hurrahing me, son. Well, let's load up. It's a long ways to Dancing Valley, and Christmas Eve don't wait."
With their waterproof war sacks filled, Cash Knife and Sleepy are riding in a soaking rain down a muddy road. In fact, they've been riding in the rain so long that there's little of the Yuletide spirit left in these two drifting cowpokes. It's almost dark as they see a small shack beside the road, but there are no signs of life. A Sleepy reins off toward the shack as Cash Knife stops his horse.
"What are you going to do over there, Sleepy?"
"I want to see what it sounds like to get my hat out of the rain for a minute."
"Of all the crazy ideas... Oh, come on. Let's find Holton.
I reckon you're right, son. That Santa Claus must be a wonder. Think of all the kids he's got to find. We can't find even one.
I reckon we're just dumb, cowboy.
You reckon? Just look at us. Wet to the skin or deeper. And...
what on earth is that?
Maybe it was a creaking board in the wind.
Yeah, I reckon it was.
That sounded like a baby crying.
Uh-huh. We'll never know till we find out.
This front room is empty. I don't hear nothing now.
It's in that back room, Sleepy.
Hashknife. It's a little baby, all wrapped up in clean warm blankets on that old bunk.
Of all the queer deals I ever ran into.
Oh, ain't he just too cute? Kid, do you know what night this is? Won't talk, huh?
He's too young to talk, Sleepy.
Uh-huh. Here we are, looking for Mary and Al and their new baby, and we find this here little partner.
Fate kind of led us in here to this baby.
Fate, nothing. I led you in here. Didn't you hear him say Christmas Eve?
Oh, sure, just as plain.
Can I pick him up?
What for? Scare him stiff?
Yeah, that's right. I never tried this face out on a new baby. But what's he doing out here all alone in this old shack? Hashknife, something must be wrong.
It has all the earmarks, cowboy. You stay here with the baby while I take the horses and tie him in that lean-to stable and back.
You mean we're staying here?
You pull out on a baby.
Hi, you partner. Got a grin for Uncle Sleepy? You have? Man, that's the best grin I ever got. What's your name? Oh, yeah, you're too young to remember what they called you. My, that's awful pretty music. Where's your ma? Don't you know, huh? She ought to be spanked good and hard. You're as cute as a bug's eyebrows, I'll say that for you, lost, strayed, or stolen. Was there any protection for the horses?
Yeah, that lean-to will keep the water off the horses. It's sure raining hard.
I just got to thinking, what'll we do when the kid gets hungry?
Now, that's a problem. Kids drink milk.
They do, huh? Wouldn't he settle for rainwater? Wouldn't, huh?
I'd like to know more about this deal. Why on earth would anybody leave a little baby in this old shack on a rainy day, all wrapped up in good warm blankets? They must figure on coming back to get him.
Uh-huh. It's a sin she didn't walk here alone.
I'd guess the baby hasn't been here too long, because he ain't howling for something to eat.
How about taking him to Holton with us? Somebody might know if he is. Betcha his stomach's empty.
Easy, little partner.
There you are. He wants in on the talk. Ain't he a dinger, Hashknife? Look at them big blue eyes.
A little blue-eyed angel in an old shack. Kid, I wish you could talk.
Try some Siwash on him, son. He sure sounds like a Siwash chief I once knew up in Idaho. You never could understand that old Injun chief.
Somebody coming, Sleepy.
I heard him. Maybe they're coming for the baby.
Flat against this partition.
Stopping in the front room.
Watch through a crack.
Oh, yeah. That's gotta be where... This must be it. What?
He's taking something out from under the floor.
Maybe he's the one who brought the baby here.
Why, that low down.
Shh, hey! Be ready. Looking for something?
What? What? Are you sneaking?
Nice shooting, cowboy. You knocked his gun clear across the room.
I did? Well, I didn't aim to.
Sneak another gun on us, huh? Well, you're kind of sudden, it seems to me.
Hashknife, look what he was digging up under the floor.
Money, huh? Bundles of money. Is this your private bank?
There's sure a lot of it. Want to talk, stranger?
I'll get you for this, you bold-legged...
I'll go butt an anvil. What'll we do with him, Hashknife?
Go out to the horses and get a rope.
Who are you?
My name's Hartley. What's your name?
Well, that's my business.
Oh, I see. A businessman. How is business?
Oh, I think you're funny, huh?
This isn't funny, stranger. All that money hidden under the floor and a lone baby in the back room.
What baby? What baby?
I suppose you don't know about it.
No, what you trying to pin on me?
You better tell me all about it.
Tell you? In my hat, I'll tell you.
Here's the rope, Ash Knife. And here's a lantern I found out there, half filled with kerosene. Has our new friend told you his life story yet?
You won't talk, Sleepy. Say, what's that?
It's that music box I bought in Calumet. I kind of thought that if the baby starts to cry, we might...
Serenade him, huh? Yeah, all right. Put it down while we rope this hard-headed hombre.
There, I think you'll stay hitched, Bo Diddley.
I'll get you two for this.
Better gag him, Sleepy. He might have a partner, and we don't want him warning anyone.
With pleasure.
No, you won't. You won't...
I'll just dump this money back under the floor and put the board back in place. All right, let's drag him into the back room and stack him in the corner. Well, that's that.
Yeah, that's that. But what is that? We don't know who this feller is, and we don't know who the baby is.
I reckon the baby is innocent and doing anything wrong, but I ain't so sure about this whippoorwill.
He pulled a gun awful fast. Where to put that music box? Oh, yeah, in the front room. See what I told you? Hash Knife?
Yeah, Cowboy?
I was just wondering, but it ain't too clear. Wasn't there a Bible story about some wise men finding a baby long about this time of the year?
There were three wise men.
Three, huh? We're shorthanded, huh?
In more ways than one, Cowboy. It's getting pretty dark. Better light that lantern. Hold this, Sleepy. Blow out that match.
Why?
Someone's driving up in a buckboard, sounds like. After what's already happened, I'd just like to be careful.
Stay here with the baby and that owl hoot with the sore gun hand.
Yeah. One on each side of the door.
Oh! Oh!
Folks, this is the last of the present series of programs, and after this broadcast, Hash Knife and Sleepy are going to hang up their saddles for what we hope will be a very short time, because there are still a lot of things to see on the other side of the hills not yet crossed. It's been a lot of fun to open the pages of the Big Book of Fate and bring you the adventures of these two cowpunchers of disaster. And if you've enjoyed these tales, Tales of the Rangeland, we'd like to hear from you. A postcard will do. We're very grateful to all of our listeners for your loyalty and your many messages of encouragement.
Light the lantern, Sleepy.
Hash Knife, you got a girl.
I've got a... Why, it's Mary.
Hash Knife? Sleepy?
Where'd you come from, Mary?
Uh-oh. Sleepy, the baby's crying. Go start the music box again.
Oh, thank goodness. The baby's all right.
Is that your baby?
Yes, he's my baby, Hash Knife.
Why, well, I can't figure.
Son, you're fighting your hat.
Where's Al?
Al? Oh, yes, he...
Is there something wrong with Al?
Why, yes, well, Hash Knife?
What's wrong, Mary?
I don't know. The last few days, he acts so strangely, it scares me.
Can we help?
I don't believe so, but what are you two doing down here?
We were coming down to visit you folks, but the rain kind of drove us into this old house. Mary, why did you leave the baby here?
Well, I just had to. What was the noise outside?
You're jumpy, Mary.
You did hear something, Mary. Someone riding up.
Oh no, I hope it isn't a... Al.
Howdy, Al.
You can put the gun down, Al. You won't need it.
Come on, Al. Mary, I followed you last night. I figured you lied to me, and I hate liars.
Calm down, Al. Don't you remember us? Hash Knife and Sleepy?
Hash Knife and Sleepy, yeah. Why should I calm down? Mary isn't satisfied with me. Maybe I'm not making enough money for her. I don't know.
No, that isn't true, Al. You know it isn't true.
If it isn't true, why don't you tell me the truth?
Mary, it kind of looks like you got to talk.
Hashknife, I can't. Not right now. You must believe me.
Al, you don't need that gun. Put it up.
She can't tell, huh? Huh. She don't dare tell.
Listen, you bug-eyed game rooster. Put that gun down. We're your friends, if you'll remember back.
Yeah, well, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so blasted sick inside over all of this. I've got a family, a little baby, a wonderful wife, everything a man could ask for, and now this has to happen.
You still got your wife and baby. Acting crazy isn't going to help whatever it is that's bothering you, Al.
Well, maybe I am crazy.
I can't believe that Mary has done anything to be ashamed of.
You don't think so, huh? Why don't y'all tell us who you've been sneaking around to see?
Why don't you tell us, Mary? Al's got to be told sometime.
All right. I went to see my brother.
Your brother? Why, he left? You mean that killer's still in this valley?
He's my brother, and he's as innocent as you are, Al.
Huh, the jury didn't think so.
I don't care what they think. They sent me a note by a Mexican boy. He needed food and money, and I took it to him. I had to sneak out because of your hard-headedness. He was in the hills right back in this old shack. I brought the baby here and left him. No one ever comes to this old deserted shack. Al, that's why I...
The baby? You brought the baby out here?
Well, the baby's all right. I was about to take him home.
The baby's all right. Me and Sleepy's been playing with him.
He sure is a cute little feller.
Would one of you mind telling us about Mary's brother?
I'll tell you. He robbed a bank of $8,000 and killed a cashier.
He did not. Harry wouldn't hurt anybody.
Say, didn't we know him? Seems like I remember Harry.
Yes, you knew him, Hashknife. He's not a bad boy.
He's a wild-eyed fool, shooting a man, robbing a bank. The jury took exactly 10 minutes to convict him.
He was convicted, huh? So what's he doing loose in the hills?
Harry escaped the day after he was convicted, Sleepy.
And everybody thinks he pulled out of the valley, everybody but Mary. Why, Bill Spears identified him, saw him coming out of the bank, pile on his horse, and leave town.
Well, who's Bill Spears?
He owns a little spread south of town.
Bill Spears lied.
Outside of all that, Mary wasn't double-crossing you, Al. She wasn't going out to meet anybody but her brother. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, I reckon I am, Hashknife. Huh. It just goes to show you what suspicion will do. I've been half out of my mind for the past week.
Well, if you asked me, which you didn't, I'd say you ought to give her a big hug and say you're sorry.
Mary, I'm sorry. Will you ever forgive me for being a fool?
Oh, there's nothing to forgive, Al. I was afraid to tell you where I was going. You thought Harry was guilty. If I'd told you, you'd have gone to the sheriff and told him.
Yeah, I reckon that's right, honey.
As I remember Harry, he was a real nice kid.
And wilder than a black-tailed jackrabbit and a cyclone.
Quiet a second.
Hold it, everybody. Don't move.
Why, it's the sheriff.
Kind of looks like a party here to me. What's going on here?
Howdy, Sheriff.
Oh, hello, Al. Didn't recognize you. Light's kind of dim in here.
Why not come in out of the rain, Sheriff?
Who are you?
I'm the one that just invited you in, remember?
Mm-hmm. I wonder how come the sheriff showed up just right now.
Regular gosh darn meeting place for Dancing Valley. Wonder who'll show up next.
I was riding past and saw a light in here and thought I'd find out who'd be spending Christmas Eve in a place like this. Well, we seem to have us a full house here. Would somebody explain what this is all about?
Start guessing, Sheriff. That's what we've been doing.
Guessing, eh? Well, before I forget it, much obliged, Mary.
Much obliged for what, Sheriff?
For helping me catch your brother Harry.
You caught Harry?
Well, yeah. I figured you'd lead me to him sooner or later.
Well, where is he?
I got him locked up in the saddle of my horse out back yonder on that old lean-to. Where do you think you're going, Mary?
I want to see Harry.
Nobody sees Harry. Not tonight. You just come back here now.
Sheriff, there's a few things I'd like to ask you.
Here too are you, tall fella.
Hashknife, I want you and Sleepy to meet our sheriff, Pat Corrigan. Pat, this is Hashknife Hartley and Sleepy Stevens.
Hey, how you doing, Sheriff?
Hashknife Hartley, eh? That name sounds familiar. Cattle Associating, isn't it?
Could be, Sheriff. We have work now and then for them.
Well, how'd you two happen to be down here tonight?
We was drifting down from Calumet to see Mary and Al and their new baby, but it was raining so dang hard we stopped in here.
Huh. Mary and Al wasn't expecting you, was they?
We do things kind of sudden-like, Sheriff.
A Christmas surprise. Sheriff, I understood that the bank in Holton was robbed.
That's right. $8,000 gone and the cashier murdered.
When you captured Harry, did he have the money with him?
Well, of course he didn't. He swears he never stole it. You wouldn't expect him to admit it, would you?
Did Harry ever have anybody helping him on that robbery?
No, it was a one-man job, Hartley. Oh, we had Harry cinched. Why, when our leading citizen saw Harry run from the bank and pull out with the money.
I suppose that Bill Spears is a solid citizen?
Whoosh. He owns a Circle 7 spread, and he's an honest man.
Y'all sure the man who robbed the bank was the same man who killed the cashier?
We had to be. It only took the jury 10 minutes to
pick up that lantern, Sleepy.
Hold it, you two. What's the idea?
Oh, let go of that gun, Sheriff. We won't hurt you. All I want to do is pull up some of the planks in this old floor.
You know, what is this all about, Hartley? I don't see what...
You will see, Sheriff. Take a look at this, will you?
What? Why, that's money. Well, look at it.
Here's more of it, Sheriff. It ain't even been unwrapped.
I don't understand what... What this is the stolen bank money. The bank's name is on these wrappers.
I reckon it's the bank's loot, all right.
All right, Hartley. Now, you start talking. How did you know that money was under this floor?
You're a suspicious soul, Sheriff. Put that gun down.
He said, put that gun down.
You can put your gun away, too, Sleepy.
I can, but it's again my feelings in the matter.
All right, Sheriff, we'll tell it. Just after we got here, a man came in, pried up that board, and we jumped him. He tried to shoot it out with us, but we stopped him.
He tried to shoot it out with you? Well, who was he?
Well, we don't know who he is. He's all tied up in the back room. You might know him.
Oh, for God's sakes. That's Bill Spears.
The honest man who identified Harry, huh? I'll ungag him.
Well, Bill, why don't you say something?
I ain't talking. Get me out of here to a doctor. That snake kind of ruined my gun hand.
You're lucky Sleep didn't put a slug through your head.
Do I get a doctor?
Bill, I'm afraid you're sunk. I arrest you for the murder and bank robbery.
And for lying another man's life away, Sheriff.
All right. When I get loose, I'll pay you two strangers back for this dirty deed.
Ah! Mary, I'm sure sorry about Harry. We had to take Bill's word for it. Just, all I've done was my duty, you know.
I'm not blaming you, Sheriff.
Oh, thank you, Mary. I better put the handcuffs on Bill before we take off them ropes.
Ain't he the cute one, though? What's his name, Mary?
His name is Henry David West.
Henry David West?
Lovely dove. Hashknife. Our first two names.
Al, don't you realize Harry is innocent? He's free.
Look at Mary and Al hugging each other.
I could almost hug somebody my own self.
Don't look at me, Sheriff. I ain't the hugging kind.
Oh, no.
Henry David West. Can you imagine that?
Kind of tongue-ties you, don't it, son?
Just a minute, folks. I'm still a little hazy. It was Bill Spears who robbed a bank and killed a cashier, not Harry, huh? I'll be a wall-eyed washopper. Think that I almost lost my head, Hashknife, if you hadn't stopped me. I had to think of what I'd have done. Lord, what a fool I've been.
I don't reckon you need to tell the Lord just how big a fool you've been, Al. Hey, Henry David West kicked that music box off the bunk and it started playing.
I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say.
I do, Al.
What, Hashknife?
A Merry Christmas to everybody on Earth.
For once in their drifting lives, Hashknife and Sleepy stayed over in order to do full justice to the Christmas celebration and a big feed at the West Ranch. Well, folks, before Hashknife and Sleepy ride down to the old corral to cut their horses into the remuda, we'd like to wish all of you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is W.C. Tuttle saying Hasta la vista and adios, amigos. Thank you.
been listening to a recreation of a lost old-time radio show, The Adventures of Hashknife and Sleepy in Sagebrush Santa Claus, performed in front of a live audience in Seattle for the ART Christmas Party broadcast. In our cast, you heard Ken Leese as Hashknife Hartley, Dave Leese as Sleepy Stevens, Pat McNally as Tuttle, Dan Schindler as Bill, Melinda Maines as Mary, Bill Maines as Al, Michael Mokey O'Reilly as the Sheriff, live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt, music by Ed Clute and Kevin McLeod at www.incompetech.com, playback by Joy Jackson, engineering by Ron Ailey. Sagebrush Santa Claus was written by Gene Tuttle and was originally broadcast on December 24, 1951. Frank Martin was Hashknife Hartley and Barton Yarbrough was Sleepy Stevens. It was broadcast on Mutual Broadcasting System from Hollywood. I'm Emma Franklin, your announcer, and this is ART, American Radio Theater.
Hello, folks. I'm Mary Moore Campagna for the American Radio Theater. In ART's continuing quest for cash diversification, we think we've found a real winner in Senior Preserve, a retirement community for less active but still ambulatory seniors. Now, through the miracle of radio, we can give you an auditory tour of Senior Preserve. There above the wrought iron gate are emblazoned the words, "Walk right in, sit right down." There's the house. Gee, I didn't know it was so far from the road.
Yes?
I'm Mary Moore Campagna from ART.
Oh, yes, indeed. Come right in. I'm Erasmus Shellgame. Everybody calls me Shelley. I wish you would.
Fine, Shelley. I notice a lot of your residents about the grounds.
Oh, yes. We try to get them outside as much as possible. You see that group over there?
Yes.
That's the escape committee.
You aren't worried?
Oh, no. The electrified razor wire fencing does that job. We've had surprisingly few fatalities. But you'll want to see the relaxation room.
I will?
Oh, yes, indeed. It's where we use your product mostly. Let's stop for a moment. You can get a good look at the grounds from this window.
Oh, you have a hedge maze. It's a pretty simple one.
Oh, yes, it is simple. Yet our guests sometimes get lost in there for days. We have to fly in food and water to them by drones. But they sure have a heck of a story to tell if they find their way out. Those that can remember it. There's the relaxation room.
My goodness. It's filled with recliners, and all the people on them are wearing headphones.
Oh, yes. And they're all listening to podcasts from AmericanRadioTheater.org. You see, these old folks have not had their imaginations stolen by the media.
I see. And AmericanRadioTheater.org is why you thought we would be possible investors.
Just imagine a chain of senior preserves from coast to coast. With the money ART will throw down in the pot, that is, we can embark on a vigorous program that will see AmericanRadioTheater.org lighting up the map from sea to shining sea and beyond.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old time radio.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
Welcoming you to Philco Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Hollywood, with John Scott Trotter, his chorus and orchestra, the Charioteers, Skitch Henderson, and starring Bing Crosby. rings custom at Christmas time, he opens the program with Adeste Fidelis. And as usual, he will sing it first in Latin, and then with the studio audience joining him, singing it in English.
Yes, Ken, I think it would be very fitting if our guests here would join in a chorus. Come all ye faithful.
Thing, I think it'd be nice if the home folks, the folks listening in all over the world, would join in too.
Oh, it would indeed. Gather round, folks, wherever you may be, and help us sing this eternal hymn.
Adeste Fidelis, Lady Triumphantes, Venite, Venite, in Bethlehem. Natum videte, regem angelorum, venite adoremus, venite.
Thank you very much. Skitch Henderson has jetted in for the holidays, and he now joins me in Mel Torme and Bob Wells' musical Christmas card, The Christmas Song. Art ready, Lyle?
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make this season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa is on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. many times, many ways. Merry Christmas to you.
Christmas program without jingle bells would be like Christmas without mistletoe or something. We're prepared. We're not going to disappoint you because John Scott Trotter has assembled a bouncy version of this perennial favorite. Looking at my libretto here, I see there are parts for the Charioteers, the vocal group, Skitch, and oh yes, Crosby catches a cadenza or two. Matter of fact, I open the affair vocally. Roll them, John.
Jingle, 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 jingle,
jingle. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle, 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 jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle, 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 jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Yes, sir, and that little number just fractured. The vocal group and the charioteers threw in 8,482 jingles and never dropped a jingle. That kind of vocal work will give you a lower plate wobble, I guess. And now, here's the Philco man with a sprig or two of vocal holly.
And a hunk of mistletoe to you, Bing, from your ever-loving sponsor.
Say, the goose really hangs high here tonight. Mm-hmm. What's your Christmas Eve message for 1947, kid?
Just the season's greetings to our friends everywhere on behalf of Philco, its distributors and dealers.
Wonderful. Let's parlay that with a Happy New Year for 1948.
Yes, from all of us on Philco Radio Time, sincere good wishes for the Yuletide and the coming year.
My, we're certainly full of greetings tonight, aren't we? Nothing to sell?
Not a thing.
Isn't this sensational? Ah, the halcyon days are here in radio, aren't they? Jolly Noel from us all. I guess White Christmas could stand one last delivery before the season ends. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, be
we now present Charles Tazwell's Christmas play, The Small One, a story for those who like Christmas and small donkeys. The same winter sun that dances on the winter snows up north sprawls indolently at ease in the thick white dust of El Camino del Norte, Old Mexico. A passerby, weary from the heat, has paused to rest in the cool, dripping shade of a pepper tree and has dropped off to sleep. He's suddenly awakened by the shrill voice of Pablo, aged 10, who stands with bare brown legs wide apart in the center of the road and bitterly addresses a small, discouraged, disreputable donkey.
A donkey? A donkey you call yourself a stupid old fine animal with four stout legs, one on each corner, a most splendid tail to shoo off the flies, and a most handsome head stuck in the front, point the way you're going. I see. And what use do you make of this excellent equipment the good God has given you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You're a disgrace to all the donkeys of Mexico, of all the world, of all...
Pablo.
See? Oh, buenos dias. I did not know that...
What's all the commotion here, young man? What has the poor beast done that you should be so angry?
But nothing.
Well, then why are you...
Then that is all he wants to do ever. Here it is, but 2 days until Christmas, when a load of wood could be sold in the village to buy gifts and a candle. But does that matter to this one? No, he cares for nothing, but nothing.
Well, a donkey's a donkey, Pablo. They're all the same.
But why? Why of all beasts should a donkey be so stubborn?
Stubborn? Oh, no, Pablo. That's wrong.
But he's always...
I know. Everyone says they are. They curse them and they belabor their backs with sticks and they call them stupid. But that's because they don't know the truth about little donkeys.
The truth?
Yes. It's really not stubbornness, but pride that makes small donkeys so aloof. No wind, sun, rain, pain, or adversity can touch them. You see, their pride is a shield against all the discomforts man or the elements can offer.
But what has a donkey to be proud of?
Oh, a great deal, Pablo. Bring your small beast over here in the shade. I'll explain.
Come along, Cupido.
Listen. Listen, Pablo, do you hear that? Only a small donkey can make that sound with his hoofs as he walks on the stones of the road. No other beast can do it. Sit down. Sit down, my son.
Si, senor.
Now, as I was saying, people are all wrong about small donkeys. A very long time ago, a great honor came to one of them, an honor so great that it lifted him and all his descendants to an exalted place. A place that you or I or all the world might envy. Ever since that time, every small donkey has been content to stand and drowse in the sun or the shade. For he alone of all animals, of all men, has already fulfilled his destiny.
His destiny,
yes,
senor?
Yes, you see, once upon a time there was a small donkey. He was 14 unhappy years old, and he had worked hard and long for at least twice 14 masters. He was battered and scarred, and he presented a most distressful appearance. His tail was naught but a piece of limp rope unraveled down at the end. One of his ears stood straight up like a cactus plant, while the other hung drooping like a wilted cabbage leaf. His off hind leg had a decided stiffness.
What was his name?
They called him the Small One. His latest master was a woodcutter who also owned four younger, and therefore stronger donkeys, but Small One was the special charge of the woodcutter's son. It was the boy who saw to it that Small One always had dry straw for his bed, and that the load of wood to be carried to the town was not too heavy for Small One's aging back. One day the woodcutter called his son to him and said,
"Son?"
"Yes, father?"
"I have a task for you to do in the town, son."
"A load of wood?"
"No. I wish you to take this donkey, the one you call the Small One, to a shop just inside the town gates. I have already spoken to the owner. He will give you a piece of silver in exchange for the beast."
"You mean... Oh, you don't mean you're going to sell Small One?"
"He can no longer do his share of the work. Even when carrying half the load the other donkeys carry, his worn-out legs tremble and his sides work like a bellows."
"But he'll be strong as the others soon. Well, you wait and see. Give him a few weeks..."
"Enough. An old donkey is of little use. One day he might drop dead on us up in the hills, a total loss. Better to take a piece of silver and say good riddance to the beast. You will start at once. You hear?"
"Yes. Yes, father."
"The shop you will take him to is the second one on the left as you pass through the gates in town."
"The second? But that's the tanner's."
"And what of that? The Small One's hide is old, but it will make good leather."
"But he's been faithful. He's worked hard. He's done his best. And you can't sell him to the tanner's to be killed."
"Come now. I'll have no tears. No crying over a miserable donkey. Harry, be off with you. And take good care not to lose that piece of silver on the way home."
And so, Pablo, the small boy and the small donkey began their sorrowful journey into town. The boy was heartbroken. He cried for a while. And then he tried desperately to think of some way to save his friend. The sound of the small one's hoofs on the road seemed to say over and over again, "Going to the tanner's. Going to the tanner's." Suddenly it came to the boy's mind that there was a horse market in the town. If he could sell a small one to some new and kind master, the little donkey would still live, and yet the father would also have his piece of silver. Well, it was early afternoon when the boy and the small one passed through the town gates and down the narrow, twisted streets to the marketplace.
We'll start the bid at 50.
50!
50 it is. We'll make it 51. Come, come, my friends. Are you going to let such an animal go for so paltry a sum?
Please, sir, would you like to buy a fine donkey?
What? What'd you say, boy?
This small donkey, he's for sale. I'm strong and willing. The price is very cheap, but one piece...
No, I don't want to buy a donkey. Be off with you.
60 is the bid. That's more like it. You are here 62. We'll
someone say 62? Come, come, my friend. You'll never again get such a fine horse for so little cash. Look at the proud head. See the flowing mane.
Excuse me, please. This small donkey's for sale. Would you
what
like
What is it you want, boy?
This fine animal, he can be bought for only one piece of silver. Isn't that a great saving? They're bidding 60 for the horse, and I know he can't do half the work a small one. Look, he's very...
Go tender. Away. Don't bother me.
But he's...
Go away! Or I'll take a stick to book you back. And now, my friend,
Eighty-three is the man! You want to hear more? No! 83 once! 83 twice! Sold for 83 pieces of silver!
You've made a fine bargain, my friend. Now, who has the next animal for sale? Step up!
Please, sir, would you try to sell this small donkey?
Go away, boy.
Oh, but he's a very valuable animal. He's not nearly as old as he looks. He is just because he's worked so hard. And the other one that doesn't stand up straight as a donkey should. Well, that was the fault of a careless master, not his own. He eats very little, and he's terribly strong.
This is a horse market, boy. We've no time to waste on donkeys.
But a small donkey would take such a small time.
all right, my boy. If you insist. My friend! My friend! A great bargain I have to offer you. The proud owner terms it a donkey, but it appears to me to be an animated pile of shaking bones. You can see how the moths have been at the hide. And the tail, is it a tail? Or is it the stub of a broom worn out from sweeping the courtyard? A true museum piece, my friends, moldy with age. And loosen the joints.
He is not.
Ah, but it is not seemly to laugh, my friend, because the owner assures me that this animal is fine enough to share a stall with the king's horses.
Stop! He shan't make fun of him. Maybe he's not as handsome as your animals, but he's better, he's a lot better. Small one deserves to be in a king's stable.
All right, boy. Take your donkey and move along. We've got business to attend to. Hurry up, off with you. Now that we've had our fun and disposed of the king's donkey... My friends, I want to call your attention to these two fine arrows.
And so the boy and the little beast left the marketplace, Pablo. The hours were slipping swiftly by, and the boy knew he must start soon for home, and that he must have the piece of silver to give to his father. He tried stopping people on the street. He inquired from door to door, but no one wanted to buy a small, tired donkey. The sun was sinking fast when he came at last back to the town gates, and he stood before the tanner's door. The boy's face was tear-streaked. The small one's head drooped so low that his limp ear almost touched the ground. The boy said goodbye to his small friend, and he asked forgiveness for what he had to do, and there was understanding in the little donkey's eyes. And then, just as the boy was lifting the latch of the tanner's door, a voice spoke to him.
My son?
Yes. Yes, sir.
I have a great favor to ask. Are you the owner of that small donkey?
Oh, yes, sir.
I have a long journey to make. My wife is not well. I have great need of a strong, gentle animal to carry her safely.
Well, small one's very strong and very trustworthy.
Yes, I can see. Would you sell him to me?
Yes. Oh, yes, sir. But for one piece of silver.
One piece of silver?
Is that too much, sir?
Too much? Oh, no. A very reasonable price for such a beautiful animal.
He's not very beautiful, but... But he's good.
Yes, yes, I can see that. I'll be kind to him. I promise you that.
Well, then he'll work so hard to please you.
Here is your piece of silver. Come, small one.
Do you mind if I come as far as the town gates? You see, the small one and
I... Not at all. You'll want to say goodbye to him, of course. You can do that while I see my wife safely on his back. Here we are. Easy, small one.
Goodbye, small one. You must be very faithful, and it isn't forever, you know. When I grow up and earn many pieces of silver, I'll buy you back, and you'll have a fine stable and nothing to do at all but sleep and eat. Won't that be nice, small one?
All right, my son. We're ready to go.
Late, traveler.
Yes, soldier?
I must make out the record before you can pass through the town gates.
Who are you?
My name is Joseph.
And your wife?
They call her Mary.
Your destination?
Bethlehem.
Pass.
Come, small one.
Goodbye, son.
Goodbye. Goodbye, small one. Be gentle and sure of foot. And carry her safe to Bethlehem.
So Pablo, the small one, traveled the many weary miles to Bethlehem. There in a stable which became a king's stable, he saw a king born. A king of men, of centuries, of life, of death. Yes, the small one's tired old eyes saw the shepherds and the wise men who came to pay homage to his small master. And he heard the voices of angels rejoicing, singing. Singing the very same notes his hoofs had rung out on the stones of the road. And then it came to pass that all those who had laughed at his ragged coat, his limping gait, and his drooping ear, they all envied the small one. For he was part of a great miracle. It was a long, long time ago, Pablo, my son. But today all small donkeys stand and they dream. Especially at Christmas time, they dream of the small one. The small one of Bethlehem.
I've got for today. Please have a look at our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month, and it's listed on the front page. For the others, you'll need to click on the podcast button. Hey, thanks for listening, and see you next time.